memory recalls him now and then. And with what rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mother pray again. She shining gospel way. So trusting still his love, I seek that home above where I will meet my mother some glad day. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice as then, so glad I would be. 'Twould mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray. Within the old home place, her patient smiling face was always spreading comfort, hope, and cheer. And when she used to sing to her eternal King, it was the songs the angels love to hear. My work on earth is done, the life crown has been won, and she will be at rest with him above. And some glad morning she, I know, welcome me to that eternal home of peace and love. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice, to me if I could hear my mother pray again. So glad I would be, 'twould mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray.
Amen. Well, if you would, take God's word and go with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We're looking here at the beginning of this book, the first chapter. The birth of its namesake, Samuel, who would soon become the prophet. And God used this man Samuel in a very special way, but Samuel never came about, would have never came about, had it not been the prayers of his mother. And Hannah is a story and a character in God's Word who was used mightily of the Lord, and her faith in God was proven, and her spirit was changed. We come to the first chapter, the book of Samuel. Look at verse number 10. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here until we get to our main text. But look what the Bible says in verse number 7. The Bible says that As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. I want you to see that little phrase. She wept and did not eat. I want to see a picture of what's going on in Hannah's heart. She was heartbroken. She wept and did not eat. Verse 10, look at verse 10. Speaking of Hannah, the Bible says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, poor Hannah. Poor Hannah. Look what the Bible goes on to say a little bit further in the Scripture. Verse number 15, the Bible says, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." And then the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted to the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." We see Hannah depicted as a lady with no children, a lady with a shut up womb, a lady that wept and did not eat. We see a lady with a bitterness in soul and spirit, broken and sad, sorrowful spirit, sad countenance. But it's not very long in Hannah's life until Hannah speaks of herself and says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." Something changed, and I want you to know something. It wasn't the birth of a boy that changed her life, but it was an encounter and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that changed her spirit. She put God first in her life, and it changed the way she was. Unfortunately, there are mothers and people, not just mothers, people all over this world that have lost their natural affection for their children. There's troubled homes on every hand and families falling apart. Do you ever wonder why there's such a battle, it seems like, against marriage? There's a battle against marriage because it is God's first institution and the foundation and the core of everything that is wholesome and right in this wicked world. Homes need to be strengthened. The only way homes are strengthened is when moms and dads will cease their dependence on the world and put their faith and trust in a living Savior. And Hannah has a change in spirit, a change in her life, and it wasn't just the fact that Samuel was born. It began before that when she decided to pray to the Lord. Look what the Bible says in our text for this morning. It begins in verse number 19. The Bible says, after she had spoke to Eli, they rose up in the morning early, verse 19 of chapter 1, and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. The Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Back up to verse 26. When she comes in the presence of Eli, the prophet of this time, she says this. She reminds him as to who she was. She says, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord." This morning I'd like to preach this message, the woman that prayed to the Lord. The woman that prayed to the Lord. Our problem is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Our problem is that we have faith in what we can accomplish in our strength and abilities, and we think, I can take care of this, or I'm going to try to take care of this, or mothers and fathers say, I just can't do it anymore. And they leave God out. If you plan on raising children in the power of your flesh, you will not succeed. Every family needs the Lord. All children need praying parents. And God must be exalted in the home. You see, Hannah's life was changed. When Hannah came to the prophet Eli after she had had Samuel, her son, and was fulfilling her promise to give him to the Lord, when she came into his presence, she said, it was a time in her life that marked a change. She said, here I am, I'm Hannah. I am the lady that stood here and prayed to the Lord. She was looking back over the last couple years, or however long it was since Samuel had been weaned, and she's looking back over her life and the change in her spirit from the time she said, I'm a woman of a bitter spirit, to the time she said, I'm rejoicing in the Lord today. She's looking back over her life, and one instance stood out. There was a time when things changed. And it was the time when she ceased to depend on herself, when she ceased to put all of her stake in her circumstances, and she called on the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ must be the center of all of our lives. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We leave that out. We know it so well, but we leave it out. And Hannah had a change in her life. You say, yeah, let's put God first. That's what you say, preacher. But you don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, Hannah gives us a great example of what some of us and most of us are dealing with. And it was in her trouble that Hannah knew she needed to call on the Lord. Look with me as we begin this chapter of Scripture. And we begin the first thought and first point this morning, the problems. Hannah had some problems. Beginning from verse 1 to verse 9, we see a lot of problems. Let's just look at it. What were Hannah's problems? The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, now there was a certain man. You can say that word if you want to, but I can't read it. Of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had no children, but Hannah had no children. In my Bible, I've underlined that little phrase, Hannah had no children. And you know, as you've studied the Bible, that in these times, to have no children was a very, very serious problem. It was a disgrace. It was almost like God was frowning on you. But that always points back to a physical problem. What was Hannah's problems? Why did Hannah need the Lord? Hannah needed the Lord because we all need the Lord. But she had some problems, and one of her problems was a physical problem. You know, some people want to not take the responsibility of being a parent because of physical problems. Some people want to not take the responsibility of being a good Christian because of physical problems. And you think that what's weighing you down is this physical issue. I want you to know something. Lots of people have physical issues to deal with. But I've always noticed something. A person who put their faith in Christ will have the grace to go through the troubles and the trials that come their way. Hannah had a problem. It began with physical. She had no children. I want you to know something. Please don't use a physical condition as an excuse to leave God out of your life. That's sin. In our deepest, darkest troubles, physically, We need the presence of a loving Savior and mercy that He offers, and only He offers. You see, she had a problem. It was physical. That wasn't it. She had family problems. I want you to know some of the family problems can be a nightmare, can they not? But Hannah was dealing with some family problems, and it was one of the many things that was piling up on Hannah to make life really rough. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary Peninnah, her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." She had a physical problem. She couldn't have children. She had a family problem. Peninnah, her husband's other wife, was constantly poking and provoking and prodding and upsetting her. It's about to drive her crazy. Family trouble. I'm going to go crazy with this family trouble. You know what the answer to family trouble is? Put Jesus in the center. Become the kind of person that has a Christ-like spirit. If Peninnah had a Christ-like spirit, and she had remembered the truth from God's Word that we are to esteem others higher than ourselves, and we're to love as Christ loves, then this family problem would have gone away. And Hannah needed help. Her problem was both physical and family. It goes on. Her problem was seemingly impossible. Verse number 6 again, the Bible says, "Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." As far as she knew, there was nothing that could be done. As far as she knew, what she was facing seemed impossible. Well, you know something? There are circumstances in our life that seem impossible. The answer is in waiting on the Lord. Hannah had some problems. It was impossible. It wasn't only impossible, but it was also long term. How long did this go on? Verse 7, the Bible says, "As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." When did this happen? Year by year. It's not something that she dealt with for a little time and then it just went away. Year after year after year after year, her problems persisted. I want you to know something. Your problem may not go away when you put God first in your life. But when you put God first in your life, the symptoms of those problems and the grief, you can pass it on to the Lord. She had some problems. They were impossible, long term. But finally, they were sinful. We can't just look at Hannah's problems and say, "Poor, poor Hannah. Poor, poor Hannah." I want you to know something. We've got to take responsibility for what we do. Look what the Bible says about Hannah in verse number 10. She was in bitterness of soul. She was in bitterness of soul. She had neglected to put God in His proper place in her life. Her troubles were piling up and life was really rough. And it boiled down to, now sure, Peninnah was wrong. Sure, she shouldn't be doing that to Hannah, but Hannah has the capacity to deal with her troubles. Oh, you know something? We do too. It's not in our own ability. It's not in forgetting something. But it's found as we trust the Lord and we walk with God. He gives us the grace we need to overcome all the problems and troubles that life may throw our way. Hannah was guilty of sin. There's a verse in the Bible that I almost don't like to quote because it's so convicting. The Bible says in the book of James, "Therefore to them that know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, Hannah had lots of problems. But the only remedy for Hannah's problems was not for Peninnah to get right. The remedy for Hannah's problems was not for all of her troubles to go away. The remedy for Hannah's problem was not to have a child. The remedy for Hannah's problems, she found out very soon in verse number 10. What's the remedy? The problems were stacking up, but number two, the remedy becomes very evident. Verse number 10, the Bible says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I think at this moment in Hannah's life, there was a serious change. There was a serious change. She was bitter before. She was heartbroken before. But this year, year after year they'd come, but this year something was different. Something was going to change. And Hannah made the right choice. What did she choose? The Bible says she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The next few verses give us some insight into what's going on. And Hannah begins to pour herself to the Lord. She prayed, number one, as her remedy. She prayed to the Lord. Look, the Bible says in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. What's the remedy? The story is very interesting. She is so upset and so involved in crying to the Lord. Year by year, she had neglected to do this for some reason. And finally, she is so overwhelmed in her spirit that she bows to the Lord and says, I need your help. She's crying to the Lord. She's praying to the Lord. And the Bible says that she's not audibly giving out these words, but she is just mouthing her complaint and her prayer to the Lord. When Eli, the prophet, sees her, he's like, Who in the world is that crazy woman over there? He makes his way to her and he says, Are you drunk? She's like, No, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring my heart out to God. I'm asking God to meet my need. I'm putting Him first. Like David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, he said, then I cried to the Lord. Oh, you know something? It makes all the difference in the world. You get things burdening you down. You know what we want to do? I want to pull myself up by the bootstraps and get something done about it. God wants me to wait on Him. God wants me to pray to Him. God wants me to give Him an opportunity to do His work, His way in my life. As her problems piled up, finally she realized her remedy was to call and cry to the Lord. Now you say, Pastor, that is so simple. I'm a theologian. I'm here to get something profound today. I think that we miss the most profound things looking for profundity. The most profound thing that any Christian can do is very simple. Cry to the Lord. Declare your dependence upon Him. Give Him a place in your life. How do you know if He's got a place in your life? I'll tell you what, if God has a place in your life, your church attendance will prove it. If God has a place in your life, the time you spend in your Bible every day will prove it. If God has the proper place in your life, the time you spend on your knees and talking to the Lord and the communication you have with Him daily and all day in every area of life, it'll show. But if you're neglecting your attendance to the Lord's house, you're neglecting your time in God's Word, if you're neglecting your time in fellowship and communion, the greatest privilege that any person has, talking to a living, loving God, and I want you to know something. You've neglected the remedy for all your troubles. You say they're just piling up everywhere. Woe is me. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And if you'll pour your complaint out to Him and find a remedy, the remedy, God, in His proper place in your life, then great victory will come. You see, we make the mistake of thinking that when the circumstances of Hannah's life changed, so did her countenance. I want you to look at the order of events here in verse number 18. In verse number 18, we just left here. Eli said, "You're drunk." And she says, "No, I'm not. I'm crying to the Lord." And she says, "Please hear my prayer." Eli listens to her concern, and Eli sends her away. And the Bible says in verse 18, she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. At this stage in the game, had Hannah realized that I'm going to have a baby? The answer is no. At this stage of the game, had Hannah given birth to Samuel? The answer is no. At this stage in Hannah's life, has her problem with her husband and her husband's other wife gone away? No. The physical problem hadn't changed. The spiritual problem had changed. The family problem was there. The impossibility, the length, the sin had gone away. And you know what happened? Without any change in Hannah's circumstances, Hannah's spirit changed. You know, we run around grouchy and grumpy and complaining and growling and fussing and worried and wringing our hands about the circumstances of this life. When what we need to do is what the Bible says, cast your care on Him, for He careth for you. Hannah found a remedy, and her remedy was in the Lord. Her remedy was in the Lord. She cried to the Lord. She developed a relationship with the Lord, began to walk with Him, and everything changed. What's the results? The results of her calling on the Lord is pretty exciting. First of all, her spirit was changed. We looked at that. Her change of heart was not dependent on her change of circumstances. Her life was changed. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Her spirit changed, her life changed as a result of calling on the Lord. God gave her this great gift, the great gift of a child. And God will change your life. You may not want a child. There's a lot of folks that said, "I don't want any more children." But you do want peace in your heart. You do want joy again. You do want victory over the sin that so easily besets you. You would like to have a spark of joy in your home again. You do want to be the kind of grandparent God saved you to be. You do want to be the kind of parent that God saved you to be. You do want to be the kind of person, Christian, God saved you to be. But you say, "The problems are weighing me down. They're weighing me down. They're weighing me down." According to God's Word, the problems that we face, if you're a child of God, are intended to bring you close to the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And may we this morning learn a lesson from Hannah. God helped her with her troubles and changed her spirit and changed her heart and changed her attitude and changed her life when she called on the Lord. You've been carrying this burden around way too long. You've been carrying these troubles all by yourself way too long. And just like Hannah, you need to pray to the Lord. Has Hannah looked back on the few years since she had given birth to her precious little boy Samuel? The one thing that she thought about when she spoke to Eli, she said, "Eli, I am the woman that prayed to the Lord." It was at that moment that everything changed. And I want you to know something. Don't carry it around anymore. Don't suffer from the consequences of your sin any longer. Cast it on a loving Savior. Say, "Here it is. Here I am. Lord, I need your help." May we learn from Hannah, the woman that prayed to the Lord.